Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He then said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The purpose of John's gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Does faith come naturally to you? Do you doubt? Do you believe in the risen Lord? Thomas doubted. He is being used by everyone these days. We call him Doubting Thomas. He is there in everyone's language. Did only Thomas have the problem? I don't think so. If you read Luke's account of Jesus' resurrection, all disciples had problem in believing Jesus' resurrection. Luke says they were startled, terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Jesus immediately showed his hands and his feet, even showed his side, so that they can see the wound marks and believe that he is risen. Yet they did not believe. Immediately Jesus said, "Bring something to eat." They brought broiled fish and Jesus ate. Then slowly they understood and they believed that Jesus is risen, Jesus is alive. So what is the difference between then Thomas and these disciples? The belief in the risen Lord did not come naturally to the disciples. So what is the problem with Thomas and why we have to call him Doubting Thomas? In fact, Jesus scolded him, softly scolded him and said, "Do not doubt, but believe." So that's our discussion this morning. What I thought, I will bring three things. Number one, proof versus evidence, or proof and evidence. The second topic, second thing that I want to look at is belief and confession. And thirdly, we will look at fact and story. Fact and story. Looking at Thomas incident, we will try to see these three things. Proof and evidence. There are two resurrection appearances that we read from our gospel portion today. One took place on the day Jesus was risen, the first Sunday. In the evening, he appeared to his 10 disciples. The door was locked. He did not knock at the door. If he knocked at the door, they would have not opened, because they were fear-stricken and they were sitting in the room with a lot of anxieties and worries. Jesus just came in without even opening the door. Of course, he has got a transformed body and he came in. Thomas was not there at that moment. He was absent, and when a chance came for him to meet with the disciples, everyone told Thomas, "Thomas, you missed a fabulous time. You missed an opportunity. We saw Jesus." All 10 disciples told him, "We met the risen Lord." Not only probably the disciples said, but others also said. The women who went to the tomb, they might have also said that we have seen Jesus. Mary Magdalene mistook Jesus as a gardener. She might have told, "Look, I have seen Jesus." And Peter would have given further evidence, saying that, "Look, John and I went to the tomb. The tomb was empty. We saw the grave clothes. We have seen the Lord." But Thomas did not take any of these statements. He did not take this evidence seriously. He simply said, "I cannot believe unless I physically verify it." What did he say? Let me read. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." These people came with great enthusiasm, and he dampened their spirit. He killed the spirit of these people's enthusiasm. "I do not want to believe unless I physically verify Jesus. I need proof. Without seeing, without feeling by myself, I will not believe." Is it the way every believer should look for proof? Is this the way every one of us should ask for proof? We want Jesus to come here, stand here in front of us physically, and we want to do the examination. Is this the way we want a proof? How do you know that Jesus is risen? Is it by physically examining him? No, not at all. Also, we can ask this question: should I see the empty tomb to believe that Jesus is risen? That question can also be asked. John says, "No, that's not the way you are going to believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus." And he gives 5 reasons why we should believe in the resurrection of the Lord. That's what we read towards the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. 5 things he said. This is the purpose in which I have written. Five things. What are the five things? Jesus did many miracles, which we cannot write it down. Numerous miracles, which all of them cannot be written down. Some of them we have written. Jesus has done miracles, number one. Number two, he has done this in the presence of our presence, in the presence of his disciples. We are the witnesses. We are the credible witnesses, eyewitnesses, number two. Number three, these things are written down. These things are written down so that you may believe that Jesus is Lord. Number four and number five, so that and that you will have life. These are sufficient enough for you to believe in the risen Lord. We are the eyewitnesses of his resurrection. We are the eyewitnesses of all that he has done on this earth. He gave the foretaste of the kingdom that is going to come. Many miracles. He has even raised people from the dead. We could write everything down. That should lead you to faith in Jesus, and that will give you life. In other words, John is saying enough evidence is given for you to believe in the risen Lord. Evidence. We are looking for proof, but John is giving evidence. What is evidence? Key information, data, details. Evidence leads to proof, or leads to conclusion, leads to confirmation, leads to a conclusion, as I said earlier. We live in a world where we operate on evidence. When you board a flight, do you check whether the pilot has got enough training? Do you check whether the plane, the aircraft, is travel worthy? You have the evidence because this particular airline has got name. They do proper check before they allow a flight to take off. We work on that evidence. You love a person. How do you know that your lover loves you? Should your lover break her heart, or you know, cut open her heart and show you that you are there in her heart, or you are there in his heart? Should DNA be checked? She or he gives enough evidence that she loves you or he loves you. You pick up that. Court operates on evidence. Court gathers evidence and then they come to conclusion. So what are we looking for? Are we looking for proof, or are we looking for evidence? Enough evidence is given. Now we have to ask this question. So that's probably the reason Jesus was not happy with Thomas asking this question. Thomas was unwilling to believe, and Jesus was not pleased. The question comes to us, should we seek for sign? Should we seek for special message? Because such things are being there out in the world. People are asking for special sign. People are claiming that they have special signs, special message. According to most scholars, they say no such thing of special sign or special message. Everything is given here. Everything is given here. In fact, Bible does not promote as to ask for special signs. If you look at Jesus' ministry in Mark chapter 8 verse 12, he said, "Why did this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation. Jesus himself is not willing to give signs. Of course, you can go and read the scripture. Bible certainly is not talking about giving proofs and signs. We have been given enough evidence. Work on it. Work on it. Do you remember this word slipstream? Slipstream? When you are behind a boat, or when you are behind a bike, or when you are behind a car, or behind a plane, you are naturally pushed forward. Slipstream. God is, his blessings are with us. His presence is with us. He's going before us. You experience it and you just follow him. Follow him. Remember, we are not walking by sight, but we are walking by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Enough evidence is given unto us, and just follow the evidence. Jesus looked at Thomas and said, "Blessed are those who are not seen and yet have come to believe." We are not looking for proof. We are not looking for signs. We are not looking for special message. We are looking to the scripture. Enough details are given. Key information is given. Data is given. I am experiencing God in my life. I'm seeing around and see how God is at work in this world. I'm just following him. The second point that I want to take is belief and confession. Now, what is this belief all about? I want to say a few things about doubt. Doubt is not a healthy thing at all. The effects of doubt is many. If you are a doubter, if you always doubt, it has got its implications. It weakens your free will. You are not able to take decision if you are always doubting. And it may lead to procrastination. It may lead to self-pity. And it kills growth and creativity. Doubt is not at all good. No way relationship can be built on doubt. Relationship can be built on believing and trusting. Believing and trusting. You want to believe, if you want to build relationship with God, it's by believing and trusting. So we all believe that Jesus is risen. But is that belief leading us to the next stage, which is confession? Now, the risen Lord is with them. Even when Thomas said this, "I have this question, I have this doubt," was Jesus absent? No, he knew what Thomas said. He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. That belief we should have. When Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, Jesus knew what was his name and why he was waiting on that tree. God is omnipresent, and we need to be believing. The question we always raise is this: where is God when it hurts? Where is God when it pains? Where is God when calamity hit the world? Where is God? Does God disappear at that time? The shortest verse in the Bible is in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He didn't need to weep at all. In a couple of minutes, he is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he wept. People wept, he wept, and he participated with the struggles of the people. God is not hidden anywhere. If you are going through a difficult time, If you are having problems in your life, God is with you. Believe. You know, in this passage, three times God said, Jesus said, peace be with you. He's not coming to his disciples with judgmental attitude. On that day, you all left me and ran away. And Peter, you have denied me three times. Look, I took care of you very well. One of you was Judas. He betrayed me. None. He comes with you very powerfully and says, peace be with you. Let your hearts receive peace. Let you be freed from anxieties. Let the heaviness of your heart goes away. Very politely he is coming. But we always have this question, where is God? Where is God? He is with you. Now, I want to go a little bit about the... I will go a little bit on the first parents, Adam and Eve. They were beautifully placed in the Garden of Eden. And you know the story. I'm not going to go in detail. But they were the ones who brought problem to this world. We are the ones who brought problem to the world. But we always want God to take the ownership of the problem. Look at how Adam responded when God said, why did you eat the fruit? He said, let me read. Okay. He said this, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree that gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate. What he says is that I am not the reason who ate the fruit. The woman whom you gave, you are the reason for this problem. We always want to see that God owns the problem, not I. And the problem in this world is not because of God who gave this problem. It is all because we embraced problem. But God did not abandon us. He comes to us and he stays with us. The risen Lord is saying that I am with you till the end of the age. Do you have that belief? He is with you. The risen Lord is with us now. You know, I always get annoyed when people say in convention speaking, in a convention or in a meeting, I see God moving among us. There is no such thing. Whether you like it or not, God is with us in this service today. I don't need to tell. He made that promise that where two or three gathered in my name, I am there with you. God is with us all the time. Do you believe that? Even when you go through difficult times, he is with you. Believe. I like this caption. You know, when we have, in some of the houses, we have this caption. Christ is the head of this house. The unseen guest in every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. He is with you. Do you believe that? He is on the throne. And he is very much going through with me on the in my journey on this earth. When Thomas said, my Lord, my God, that's where the transformation taken place. Yes, Lord, you are with me. Yes, Lord, you are alive. Yes, Lord, I confess that you are my Lord, my God, and I will always acknowledge your presence in my life. Some scholars are of the opinion that he never checked, putting his finger into the wound marks, he never checked. But that's all assumption. But he came to a conclusion that he is alive, he is the Lord, he is God. No other disciple ever said that Jesus is God. But this understanding of Jesus is God came to Thomas, and he acted upon it. He was not a doubting Thomas anymore. He came to India, and there he died as a martyr. Wonderful. So when you experience God in your life, don't just experience him, but confessing and see that you acknowledge and you say that Jesus is risen and Jesus is active in your life. The third point that I want to take is fact and story. The disciples saw Jesus on the first Sunday of the resurrection. And now the second time Jesus saw them, any change took place? They were same as the second time. They were same as the first time, I'm sorry. They kept the door locked, and Jesus did not knock at the door. Again, they had the fear of the people, of the authorities. So if he knocked, they would not open. So he came again second time. Any change took place? But Jesus knows that there is going to change, the change is going to take place now. They have the fact, and the fact is not going to help them much, but they are going to be the stories. They are going to be the resurrection stories. So someone very beautifully made a difference between fact and story. Empty tomb is the fact. The grave clothes is a fact. Jesus' resurrection appearances are the fact. But that's not what we are going to hang on. That's the starting point. Now he wants his disciples to go and be the resurrection stories. Resurrection stories. Fact is one-dimensional. Story is multidimensional. Fact informs your mind. Stories touch your heart. Facts transmit information. Stories transform lives. Fact is static, stays, but story is dynamic. Jesus is wanting that. There is no need to preserve the tomb. There is no need to preserve the grave clothes. Now the disciples are becoming the stories. They are the resurrection stories. They are going to carry it on. Are you still checking for the proof or facts of Jesus' resurrection? Look at the apostles. Peter, when he started preaching, even in Acts chapter 2, he is not referring people to go and see the tomb in the garden. The garden was still there at that time. The tomb was still there at that time. Peter didn't say that, go and see the tomb. What he said that we are the witnesses. We are the witnesses of the resurrection. And that's what you see with all other apostles, even with Paul. The starting point is the fact, but we are the witnesses. It is something like the fire. It has got a starting point, but the fire is everywhere. The fire has gone everywhere, and we are the resurrection witnesses. We are the resurrection stories. That's how the Christianity is growing. That's how it should be growing. That's what Jesus wanted. No more we should be seeking for signs. No more we should be seeking for facts. No more we should be seeking for proof, but we are the witnesses, and we are going to be the witnesses of Christ Jesus. A new relationship has begun. A new beginning has come. If you describe if you describe resurrection without words, but only with punctuation marks, what would you say? Full stop. Full stop. That's what disciples thought. Everything is over. It's finished. It's done. But that's not the expression of resurrection. If you put comma, that is also not the expression of resurrection. Yes, I need time. I need some more time to gather information. I need to pause. I need to procrastination. That is also not the right expression of Jesus' resurrection. Questions? Question mark? That is also not. We have got answers for everything that we have already asked. But the right punctuation mark is exclamation. I am thrilled. I am excited. A new life began, and I am going to go and be the resurrection story. Remember the difference. We need to understand these differences. Proof and evidence. Belief and confession. Fact and story. May the dear Lord make us his resurrection stories. God, be with us and help us so that we reflect the risen Lord in our lives. God bless us all. Amen.